Lord bless thee and keep thee. The Lord make his face shine upon thee and be gracious unto thee. The Lord lift up his countenance upon thee and give thee peace. And greetings. This is Brother Olaf with the second day of special broadcast. Beginning in 2 Kings chapter 2, the theme, the eternal cry of the ages, come down. And once we come down, it's hard ever go back up. But there was a preacher, a hilltop preacher. The Bible said he sat on the top of a hill. And there was a king by the name of Ahaziah that fell down. And when he fell down, he said, come down. In other words, get down here where I am. And that's the cry of most of the world today. Preacher, why do you want to be different? Why do you want to be peculiar? Why don't you cooperate? Why can't you get along? I mean, why are your standards so different? Standards are not mine or yours. They're God's. I don't set them. I'm supposed to live by them. This is a week of preaching. For after that, in the wisdom of man, the world by wisdom knew not God. It pleased God by the foolishness of preaching to save them that believe. After that, in the wisdom of God, the world by wisdom knew not God. Man doesn't get smart enough to save himself. He never gets smart enough to work himself out of his problems. He has to humbly present himself to God and say, I humble myself, I confess my sin, I pray, I seek thy face, I turn from my wicked ways. And then God comes immediately to say, yes, I'll forgive your sin and I'll heal your land. And it came to pass when the Lord would take up Elijah into heaven by a whirlwind, that Elijah went with Elisha from Gilgal. This is the preacher that became weary and discouraged and said, Lord, let me die. Just let me die. But the Lord said, no, I'm not going to ever let you die. I'm going to let you live. And you remember he said, I want you to put your mantle and make provisions for the next generation. And let somebody else take your place. And so in the second chapter, we find this blessed experience of this man of God as he meets a plowboy who turns to preaching. And Elijah said unto Elisha, tarry here, I pray thee, for the Lord hath sent me to Bethel. And Elisha said unto him, as the Lord liveth, and as thy soul liveth, I will not leave thee. So they went down to Bethel. Now the school of the prophets met him along the trail, and the sons of the prophets that were at Bethel came forth to Elisha and said unto him, knowest thou that the Lord will take away thy master from thy head today? And he said, yes, I know it. Hold ye your peace. Just keep quiet about it. I'm going with him. Now, you know, I think, and I marked it in my Bible when I read this the other day. It seemed like the Christians can be divided into two classes, the viewers and the doers. I said the viewers, a lot of them are looking. A lot of them, they see, but they don't do. They hear, but they don't heed. And Elijah said unto him, Elisha, tarry here, I pray thee, for the Lord hath sent me to Jericho. And he said, as the Lord liveth, and as thy soul liveth, I will not leave thee. So they came to Jericho. That's the second stop, first to Bethel. And that's the place, I suppose, where we meet the Lord. And then Jericho looks like a place of service. And the sons of the prophets that were at Jericho came to Elisha and said unto him, knowest thou that the Lord will take away thy master from thy head today? And he answered, yea, I know it. Hold ye your peace. And Elijah said unto him, tarry, I pray thee, here, for the Lord hath sent me to Jordan. And he said, as the Lord liveth, and as thy soul liveth, I will not leave thee. And they too went on. And 50 men of the sons of the prophets went and stood to view. There they are, as the viewers. The viewers. And they viewed afar off. They didn't get up too close. That's the way most people are. I don't want to get too close. I don't want to get involved. I don't want to get obligated. I don't want to, you know, lose my life. I want to just kind of take a look. I'll view a little. And they too stood by Jordan. I'll tell you, nobody wants to get too close to old Jordan's rivers. Old Jordan's river, he gets out of bank, and yet, listen, to me, Jordan means two things. It's not just the Jordan of death. I remember, and I wish I had time to tell you, maybe I will at the close of the broadcast, about a little boy that asked me one day to sing a song. But they too stood by Jordan. And Elijah took his mantle, wrapped it together, smote the waters, they were divided hither and thither, so that the two went on over on dry ground. It came to pass when they were gone over that Elisha said unto Elisha, ask what I shall do for thee before I be taken away from thee. And Elisha said, I pray thee, let a double portion of thy spirit be upon me. Oh, today, I want to ask you one question. In this week of preaching, how's your spirit? Doesn't make a difference about your knowledge and about your talents and about your accomplishment. What is your spirit today? Have you got a sweet spirit? Oh, David said, cast me not away from thy presence, and take not thy Holy Spirit. Take not thy spirit from me. Oh, he said, create in me a new heart and renew a right spirit within me. What kind of a spirit? Preacher brother, what kind? I'd rather have a sweet spirit than to have an education. I really had, and a wrong spirit. I'd rather have a right spirit than to have all the money that you can put up in the banks. A right spirit. He said, I want a double portion of thy spirit. It didn't mean now that he just wanted a little sweet spirit in the eyes of the world, because Elijah didn't have a sweet spirit in the eyes of the world. He cut off the water faucets, and he cut off the dew fallers for 3.5 years, and starved old Ahab and his crowd down because they were wicked, but he was hated for it. He was despised for it. They would have killed him if they could have found him, but God hid him away. Oh, I want a double portion of thy spirit. And Elijah looked at him and said, thou hast asked a hard thing. It's going to be a hard life for you, son. It'll be a lonely life. You may be stuck off out in the brook somewhere by yourself. You may eat your 2 meals a day out of the beak of a raven. You might have no fellowship but just a few rabbits, but you'll have a running brook by the place where you stay. You'll have water. Amen. God never will let his children live without water, the water of life. But you'll have a lonely time. You'll be misunderstood. You'll be rejected. You'll be fought and despised. You'll be persecuted and probably prosecuted if you get a double portion. But you'll have a miraculous ministry. You'll be able to help those that need help and that won't help. And dear friend, I'd like to take my stand today with the doers instead of the viewers. There's work to be done. There's souls that must be won. And so Elijah has picked up the plowboy now. He's told him 3 times to go back. And he said, I'm not going to go back. He stopped at Bethel. And Elisha said, this is not far enough. He took him over to Jericho. He said, this is not far enough. He took him to Jordan. And Jordan, of course, is the place where you cross over to the promised land. And dear friends, Jordan, there must be a death down here before there'll be a resurrection for over yonder. And so they've come now to Jordan. They crossed the Jordan. And now it seems that Elisha has burned every bridge, clipped every shoreline, turned his back even on the school of the prophets. And he said, there's one thing that I want. And Elijah forked it out of him and fished it out of him and said, son, what do you want? Ask what I shall do for thee before I leave here. He said, just give me a double portion. I want the mantle. I want your mantle. He said, you've asked a hard thing. Nevertheless, if thou see me when I'm taken from thee, it shall be so unto thee. But if not, it shall not be so. Came to pass as they still went on and talked, that behold, there appeared a chariot of fire and horses of fire, and parted them both asunder. And Elijah went up by whirlwind in the heaven. And Elisha saw it, and he cried, my father, the chariot of Israel, and the horsemen thereof. And he saw him no more. And he took hold of his own clothes and rent them in two pieces. He took up also the mantle of Elijah that fell from him and went back and stood by the bank of Jordan. Now let us pause there a moment. He said, my father, the chariot of Israel and the horse thereof. Yonder goes God's standing army. Yonder goes the cavalry that fight on the ground. And he said he saw him no more. And then he took his own clothes and rent them in two pieces. In other words, he tore up his own clothes. He said, I'll never be satisfied to wear what I've got on when Elijah's mantle is available. I don't care about my dress. You know, I feel that I could say today, and I wish I could say it in such love and such a sweet spirit, that my brethren would not raise their eyebrows or find a spirit of rebellion. I wonder what kind of clothes we're to tear up. The sinner's going to have to tear up his good work clothes. I mean by that, he's going to have to the sinner's going to have to tear up his church membership clothes if he's substituting that for his salvation. He's going to tear up his religious clothes. Oh, yesterday they called me and said, Brother Olaf, our loved one has died. The doctors have given him up. Oh, they cut him open, but they sewed him up and said, just a matter of a few days, and he's gone. And they said, he's not saved. And I said, I'll come as soon as I'm off of the radio. And I got off the radio and beat it to the hospital. And some loved ones are gathered around the bed, and they did what I appreciated. They all stepped out. I closed the door. And I said, Jim, I've come to talk with you about the Lord and your relationship to Jesus. I know you're in a very serious condition, but your mind is clear. And God had answered my prayer about that. I'd been praying that God would answer. He'd been a very mean man. I preached him in the jail, I suppose, many times. He was not an old man, not as old as I am. But sin and disease had done its work. And I said, I've come to just tell you that Jesus loves you. No matter how wicked you've been, Jesus loves you. He died for you. He rose again. And this very sick man looked up and he said, yes, sir. This man, I'd won his confidence by going to him in the jailhouse and preaching to him. And the loved one said, he's the only preacher, I suppose, in the world you are that he'll listen to. And I believe you could help him, and we want you to come. I'll tell you, preacher brother, first of all, we've got to win the sinner's confidence by our conduct and by our love and by what we do. One of the best ways to win a man's conduct and confidence is to go see him while he's in trouble. Just work with him while he's in trouble. I mean, when everybody else is turned down, you go see him. You go talk with him. The best way in the world to win an old hardened sinner is just to spend a little time with him instead of hobnobbing with the church members and the people of town, about town. And so I began to talk with him, and I said, Jim, I want you to put your trust in him. And I said, would you like to be a Christian? And he looked up like a little child and said, yes, sir. I said, all right, will you trust him now? And he reached up his hand to get mine. And he shook my hand and said he'd received Christ. I said, ask him to come in your heart and forgive you. He confessed his sin and prayed and asked the Lord to save him. Oh, I tell you, there was a burden off of my heart. I mean, when you face a man that you know that does not have but a few moments to live, and hours at the most, then I tell you, you get in earnest, don't you? Realizing this is going to be his last call. I'll be the last preacher that'll ever say a word to him before he stands before God to give an account. And Elisha said, I want a double portion. Oh, I wonder what kind of clothes he tore up. I wonder if he didn't tear up his denominational clothes. I'm going to be loyal to my denomination. I'm going to be faithful to my denomination. You better be faithful to Christ, dear friends. There could be a sight of difference between the denomination, the program of the denomination, and the leadership of the Lord and the Holy Spirit. And so he said, I'm going to tear these clothes up. You know, he first had to tear up his own clothes before he could put the mantle on. God's mantle, the Holy Spirit, if you please, and to me this is a type of the Holy Spirit, will not fit on over everything else. I mean, he'll be the main garment. He'll be the main garment. Christians, the Holy Spirit will be the main garment. You can't just tack him on. You can't just add him to. Neither can you add Jesus. The Bible said, seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness. And all these things shall be added unto you. And the Bible said, he saw him no more. He didn't see Elijah anymore. He didn't need to see him anymore because he had the mantle. He could dismiss the great preacher. And now then he comes back to the water and said, where is the Lord God of Elijah? I wrote a message, I hope you got it, in the last Faith Enterprise on where is the preacher. Not where's the Lord God. Not where's the message, but where's the preacher of the message. And this week, we're having nothing but preaching. Just encouraging the preachers to preach. I believe everything we've got in the enterprises is built around one thing, and that's the preaching of the gospel. Simple, I know. Plain, I know, but that's the way it ought to be. Where is the Lord God of Elijah? And when he also had smitten the waters, they parted hither and thither. He wasn't afraid to get the mantle wet. Amen. You know, to me, I haven't seen this before, but I just saw it. To me, it's the Holy Spirit and the water combined that parts the waters and that divides the waters. And Elisha went over. When? When he had faith enough to do what Elijah did. He took the mantle, instead of framing it, instead of hanging it in his clothes closet, he decided to use the mantle and let the mantle use him. And so he took it and put it together. And he then smote the waters. And I tell you, I believe we're going to have to smite the word if we want the word to smite us. In the mornings, I know this morning when I woke up, I thought of the verse, let the words of my mouth, the meditation of my heart, be acceptable in thy sight, O Lord, my strength and my Redeemer. My ministry began to enlarge when I began to memorize the Word of God. My faith began to stronger grow. The homes began to be born and built. When? When the Word of God began to do its work in my heart. And oh, I long to be a Bible Christian. And the only way I know how to be a Bible Christian is to read the Bible and to live in the Word of God. And notice, he went over, and the sons of the prophets are the viewers. And here comes the doer. Many viewers, and this one doer, it looked like along the trail there, which were to view at Jericho, saw him. They said, the spirit of Elijah doth rest on Elisha. Yes, they could tell. The viewers knew that something happened to Elisha, but they were not willing to go get the mantle. They had no desire. I mean, they were getting inoculated in college with maybe some training, but they didn't want what Elijah had. No, a little too drastic for them. And so they came back. They saw him. They recognized the spirit of Elijah was upon him. And they even bowed themselves to the ground before him. Oh, they respected him. Sure. They said, my, he's a man of God. He got what he went after. I mean, and they must have recognized that what he got was more important than what they were getting because they bowed to him. And he said, they said, we better send somebody to look for Elijah. Lest peradventure the Spirit of the Lord hath taken him up and cast him upon some mountain. Or into some valley. Now, that's a misunderstanding, isn't it, of the Spirit of God. A lot of people think the Spirit does silly things. The Holy Spirit just does acts like Jesus. That's what I want to say today. When you get a double portion, you'd say, I'm afraid it'd make a fool out of me. No, it'd make a Christian out of you. It'd just give you power to live like a Christian. It'd give you power over the enemy. It'd give you victory over the devil. And they said, well, we better send a committee. We better send a committee. We better see if we can find him. They said unto him, behold, now there be with thy servants 50 strong men. Let them go, we pray thee, and seek thy master. He said, no need sending for him at all. He said, ye shall not send. But when they urged him till he was ashamed, he said, send, go ahead. Y'all determined to get your committee in action. Just go ahead and send. So they sent, therefore, 50 men. And they sought 3 days, but found him not. And when they came again to him, for he tarried at Jericho, he said to them, did I not say unto you, go not? You know, the only thing the committee did was just slow down the doer. The only thing the viewers did was to slow down the doer. And he waited for them 3 days. They came back and said, well, we couldn't find him. He said, well, I told you not to go. But you see, even though they were willing to bow at the feet of a spirit-filled man, they were not willing to pay attention to him. And they were not willing to take his advice. And that's so like the world today. We've got to have our committees. We've got to have our organization. We've got to have our promotion. We've got to have... Well, he said, go ahead. But it'll not do you much good. The men of the city said unto Elisha, behold, I pray thee, the situation of this city is pleasant, as my Lord saith, but the water is not in the ground therein. They're having water trouble. The water is no good. It's not the ground is barren. Now that's two bad things. When you got bad water and you got bad soil, you're going to have a hard time making a living. You need a preacher. Or if you said, no, we need an agriculture specialist. We need somebody from A&M. Oh, no. He said, bring me a new cruse and put salt therein. And they brought it to him. Bring a new cruse. I don't want something secondhand. Don't bring something you got there in your college classroom. Don't bring some of your little test tubes. You go get me a new cruise, and then you get me some salt. And dear friends, every Christian ought to have salt in him. We need a little more salt and less sugar today. Amen? And so, this man of God took the new cruise, and he went forth under the spring of the waters. Amen? He didn't go to some little cistern, man-made. He didn't go to some little denominational or religious or promotional water cistern. He didn't go to some little barrel on a sled, praise God. He went to the spring where the waters are pure and cast the salt in there. He went to the source of where the water came from. He went to the Word of God, if you please. That's where the help's going to come from for the people. Thus saith the Lord. Amen. He gave them the thus saith the Lord. That's the word of God. I've healed these waters. There shall not be from thence any more death or barren land. So the waters were healed unto this day, according to the saying of Elisha, which he spake. Yes, if you want to fix up the soil, you'll have to have the Spirit of God. If you want to fix up the soul, you've got to have the Spirit of God. If you want to sweeten up the water and make it drinkable. Oh, I tell you, that's the business of the Spirit-filled preacher, is to get the water fixed. I mean, get the water to the people. I said, get the water to the people. Oh, bring me a new cruse and put salt therein. And they brought it to him. And the Lord gave victory to a man that wanted a double portion. What do you want? Would you settle for less? I'm talking not just to preachers, but to Christians. Oh, may today our hearts and our lives be in a line and in accord with the Holy Spirit. I know there's going to be opposition. Even the little children came and said, mocked him. The Bible said they mocked him and said, go up, thou bald head, go up, thou bald head. Sure, you're going to be misunderstood, but who cares if you can sweeten up the water and make it drinkable? And if you can fix the soil where the people can farm it and make a living? If you can see the provisions are met for the people? I mean, that's all I'm concerned about. In our homes, if we can get the boys saved. Last night, a little boy came in. I said, a little boy, grown, tall, six-foot boy, sentenced to 5 years in the penitentiary. And the judge said, let you have him. I'll let you have him. And some more coming in today or tomorrow, already sentenced to the penitentiary. What if those were your boys? What I want to do is see them saved. May we pray. Our Heavenly Father, we ask thee to bless this message today and help us to settle for nothing less than the best. And oh, may we have a double portion of the Spirit of God. Lord, personally I need thy presence and precious power. Know the promises. Father, help us to walk and stand on them. Bless now the family altar listeners this week and make us doers instead of viewers. Bless the sick and those in trouble and sorrow. And Father, we pray that this birthday week we'll see $1 million completed and the people will be faithful and we'll build buildings. God bless the building programs that are underway right now in Hattiesburg, Mississippi and down in the Rio Grande Valley. And Father, you know there needs to be a home built for little retarded children. I'm asking you for one. And somehow I believe that it's going to take place. I'm asking that before January the 1st of this year, that we'll have these buildings just about finished, if not finished. And so we're trusting thee, Lord. In Jesus' name we praise thee. Amen. This is the birthday week and the climax of our anniversary. Yesterday, June the 28th, 1914, many years ago, I was born. I'm asking God for the biggest birthday present of my life, just for others. And the Lord knows what I'm thinking and knows exactly every purpose and motive of my soul. Miss Olof's going to be on some broadcasts with me this week, probably Friday of this week. Many of you have asked that you might hear her voice. And she and I will have a good talk, probably from our home out on 429 Naples Street. A little frame house, but it's pretty nice. And it's old, but it's all right and adequate for us, and that's all we ever expect to have while we're down here. And I hope you'll be tuned in on Friday when Ms. Roloff and I will be talking about the work, and she'll be making some comments. She said, honey, I might cry, but said I'd sure like to be on with you. And she volunteered, since the people had said we'd like to hear her voice. I'd like for you to write us this week, and let's do the overplus. It's going to take that if we meet the great challenge. God, I believe, has promised me $1 million to build with. We have two buildings underway now. One for little babies that nobody wanted. And one for boys that nobody can handle. And we need to build other buildings. I've got some things in mind too big to tell today. But I will tell you, once we get into them, when the $1 million comes, and this week, I believe there's 1 million friends that could have a part. So write once more. Let's finish up the work and claim the promise. God will take care of you. And Box 1177, Corpus Christi, Texas, is the place to write. Just Brother Olof, R-O-L-O-F-F. All you dear ones down in the islands now, and all the folks everywhere, be faithful and we'll realize the vision that God has given us fulfilled.
God will take care of you.
And you too.
Through every day.